Jimmy had a good idea, and then we hit record, but I accidentally hit test record, and then it totally took the wind out of the sails, because it was like
three minutes
of us going, what happened? Wait, what's going? Yeah, anyway.
We'll get it back.
What's the difference between a test record and an actual record?
I don't know. Seriously. And now the title changed in the video, so I don't know if we're actually test recording or actually recording.
You want to stop and start over, and we could use this little clip?
I think it's recording.
Check 1, 2.
I mean, it's recording. Anyway.
The best is when you record an entire episode and you're like, we didn't get it.
Oh, man. So the last time we tried to record No Instructions, which we haven't done in over a year, but it had been a long time, and Josh and I finally sat down to record, and we were using a Rodecaster. It's like a console for recording podcasts. And we hit the record button, and it blinked a color, and we talked for an hour and a half or so, and it was a good conversation and all this stuff. And then we hit the blinky button again, and it stopped blinking, and then went to take the SD card out to take it to the computer, and there was no SD card in there. And it
horrible.
Just didn't record the entire thing. But it didn't, it was like, you hit the button and it turned, I don't remember what color it was, but it turned a color. I'm like, oh, well, it's blinking or it's doing the thing. So that means, you know, and it was just gone. And we never went back to record after that because it was so frustrating for me, you know, to like lose that entire thing.
Yeah. That's so annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is there a chip in the computer this time?
Yeah, I mean,
that's how it works.
It's trying to send it through the web browser. So if there's that kind of a problem, then we're doing something really wrong.
You think there's a chip at the web browser company?
Yeah, there's some guy that's over there like running over to stick an SD card in some random computer to record right now for us.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. Mm. How's it going?
Good morning.
Good. It was a long weekend. I didn't do anything.
It was
just
wait.
Relaxed.
Okay. So it was long because you had to relax?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
Really, really long. I had to steal away and like paint something just to get my fix in. Mm. It was like I was going and doing like bumps in the bathroom. I was like running to the shop and like cutting a piece of wood just to feel like I got something done.
This
you
is
little
great.
Kids, have, you younger kids have to look up what that means.
No, don't look that up. Don't.
Seriously, creation. I was like, I got to go to the shop and look at something, and then all of a sudden, I have like yellow paint all over my hands for my latest project. Like, and I came up to the house at one point, and Rachel's like, "You have a big yellow thumbprint on your face. What were you doing?" I was like, "Nothing." I'm painting. I'm doing this project. My patrons know I'm painting. I'm doing this project that involves yellow paint. I might have told you guys here. It's not a secret. I just some things I just keep for Patreon. It's I'm making a Johnny Walker. It's for Johnny Walker brand. A pull behind bar cart behind a golf cart. It's for a golfing event. And it's a little bar. It has its own tap system. It's got a little storage area for ice. And it's all stylized and predominantly yellow. So I'm using yellow Rust-Oleum. It happens to be almost the exact same color. So I'm using yellow Rust-Oleum. And every time you pull open the lid, and like a fingerprint just shows up next to your mouth or you know, like you rub your eye. And then your eyelid now has a very, very faint shade of yellow on it. It's everywhere. So.
It's funny you mentioned going away to, you know, add a coat of paint because so many times we'll be getting ready to watch a movie or make dinner or do something. I'm like, all right, I'll be right back. I'll be back in 5 minutes and I'm going to go put a coat of finish on something. And then 20 minutes in, I'm like, I'm coming in just one more minute the time. It always takes longer than expected.
Do you ever see the meme? It's really funny. It shows Leonardo DiCaprio and Rose from the Titanic and he's at a dinner with her and he says, I'll be right back, honey. And then somebody memes it. I'm just going to the garage to paint something. And then it shows her as an old woman at the end waiting for him.
Oh, yeah. It's been 86 years. Yeah, I've seen that.
That always makes me laugh. It's so stupid.
Mine is I'm going to go start a print. I do the exact same thing, but it's like, I'll be right back. Just hold the movie. I'm going to go start a print. And I go down and I start a print. And then I'm like, I should put it on this printer too in case that one fails.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, where is that SD card?
And, yeah.
that's what I called folding time back on itself. It's if you're just going to sit and do nothing, you have to fold time back on itself so that you feel like you're sitting there doing nothing, but something's happening.
Hmm.
Yeah. Something always has to be cooking in the background. Something has to be in the oven, so to speak. Something has to be cooking somewhere, whether it's paint drying or epoxy curing. Something has to be in the oven.
There's a topic right there.
Yeah.
Something has to be happening in the background. If it's not, then you're completely wasting your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There is a topic there. So,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Maybe should we hold? Let's pause that. Let's hold that idea.
Right.
I wrote it down. Right. So it's we have it.
We can just roll with it. We could do the other one later.
Well, no. I mean, we can do it now, but I want to hear what you guys have been up to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I've been doing, I've been painting in the background. I've been stealing away from the group and going and painting yellow paint on my Johnny Walker bar cart. And, you know, it's funny. What also happens in the background a lot is me thinking things through. And I told you guys a couple weeks ago where I fiddle with the chickens and the birds and the cats. And I feel like there are stretches of time throughout the day I'm not doing anything. I find myself scrolling a little bit. I try if I am scrolling, I'm scrolling on a topic of something I'm thinking about. I might put in a hashtag. You know, I showed you guys I'm making this leather canteen. So I might pop in, you know, leather forming, and then I'll scroll on leather forming. So at least I'm getting some good input, you know. So I do a lot of that. And then when it gets down to sitting in the shop, putting, you know, the rubber to the road, actually things happen. So I do waste a lot of time, but I try and use that wasted time to plant visual seeds and subconscious seeds so that when I do get to the getting, things happen quickly. And it's been a week. Last week I was talking about this leather bag that I'm going to make a new version of the finger jointed bag or the tab and slot bag. Not a new version, a smaller version. A lot of women are asking me for a smaller version. So they said, we'd love to see this design in a smaller thing with like a flap. So it was all right. So I started playing with that. And then last night I sat at the computer at about 2:30 a.m. and I started playing around and it just came right out of me. And I was avoiding it. We avoid stuff until it's time to actually do it. But if you spend your time thinking on it subconsciously, if you make yourself forget about it, let your subconscious work on it. When it comes time to doing it, things start moving quickly. So that's what I did. So I spent the weekend kind of dilly-dallying around a little bit, but I got a lot done yesterday when I finally... I said, I did a post for Patreon. I was like, it's Tuesday. It should be Monday, but it's Tuesday. I only have 4 days this week. And I jumped into what I was talking about there. But so... That's how I feel productive, even though nothing's happening. I'm scrolling on things I'm thinking about, and planting seeds, and it's like the never-ending Google image search. I think it helps. It helps me. But what did I do this weekend? Just hung out with some friends and painted yellow paint. It's also nice when you feel like nothing's happening. It's nice to hop on the lawnmower and mow the grass or trim the hedges or weed whack. And then when that's done, you're like, wow, I got a lot done today.
Yeah.
Really nothing actually happened. Your house just looks a little less haunted.
Well, it's funny because, you know, like that, we produce things so much that we have finished products on a regular basis, right? After a couple of days or a week or a couple of weeks of working on a thing, we typically end up with a thing that is finished that we can set on a shelf or give to somebody or whatever and look at that and be like, that's the... Got it. Done. On to the next thing. And so I know that for me, that's become this like unnatural benchmark for accomplishment is when something is finished. And there's all these other little things that don't feel like they are actually finishing something, but they're still productive. They're still moving toward things. And it's funny that we don't weigh those in the same way. Like you can do an entire day's worth of fixing trim around the house that always needed to be done or cleaning up or sweeping the shop or, you know, putting away the yard tools, or you can do all the stuff that actually makes things better, like objectively better. But if it's not a finished, I did this thing and now it's done and I can give it to somebody, it doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I've had to fight against that because it makes a lot of those little things that you need to do and that are actually kind of enjoyable to do, it makes it feel like they are so low in priority that you just like push them off. I push them off all the time. There's so many things.
Like cleaning the shop. I just grab tools. I grab tools, and there's tools piled on every flat surface. Yesterday, when I had a visit from Congressman Molinari over here, which was, I told you guys about before we started, and I looked around. I was like, there isn't one flat surface to like for them to like work their stuff, because I knew he was coming with his family. I did a quick cleanup. I put a bunch of tools away, and suddenly I started having some flat open surfaces that people could at least put a drink down. I was like, okay, cool. We got something done. But that's something that you avoid doing that, because when you're done, you don't really have like a net result. But you really do have a beautiful, you know, it reinvigorates your process to think. You're not clouded.
Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned last week I was talking to Forby about that, where I felt like I needed to move on to the next thing. And he was like, maybe you don't. Maybe you should just, you know, you're talking about how messy the shop is, how this, all the stuff that you moved has not been finished putting away and everything. Take time to do that. And that's what I did yesterday. The same thing. I did a little bit of modeling on a thing that I was working on and started some prints. And then while it was printing, I took stuff to the dumpster, and then I swept up and I put tools away, and really not very much time made a significant difference. I can walk through a part of the room that I couldn't walk through before, you know, and I hadn't been prioritizing that for several weeks. It's just, it's so weird. I don't know. We just weigh things differently. But
as soon as the shop is clean, I look back and I'm like, okay, now I can think of and make anything. Hmm. Where 10 minutes before that, I felt like I couldn't pay my bills. Life was horrible. And then you clean up and you're like, I have all the potential in the world.
Yeah.
It is a mood changer. It's like getting a haircut.
Getting a haircut?
What? What are you talking about?
I cut my own hair like five times between regular haircuts because I'm too lazy to go. And is it me or is every barber now need an appointment? Drives me crazy. I'm going to vent for a second. Yeah. Every walk-in barber that used to be a walk-in barber with the barber pole, you walk in, they go, oh, take a card, make an appointment. It's like hipsters with like head tattoos and neck tattoos. Like, yeah, got to make an appointment. I'm like, can't I just sit here for 10 minutes and somebody cut my hair when you guys have a free minute?
Well, so. Okay. Devil's advocate. Imagine you were sitting in your shop and you made stuff for people for a living. Would you want to wait around in your shop with nothing to do? I mean, with none of your own projects to do, waiting for somebody to walk in so that you could make them something? Or would you want them to send you an email and say, I want this. Make this for me.
I'm going to argue against it. That's a tradition.
Okay.
That's okay. A tradition.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they have the barber pole on the outside. It's like,
yeah,
a welcome,
it's like come like, in. Yeah, come in and get a business card.
So the barber pole is like a... Is that supposed computer. To be like we're currently cutting hair? Come in and... Is that what this
we're
for?
We're letting blood and cutting hair. That's what it means.
Okay.
That's what it used to mean. They used to you'd get your hair and your beard trimmed, and they'd let a little blood out so you could feel better.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's true. You can look that up. That's true. That's what
kids,
the
don't look part. That up either.
Get a little bump. But anyway, so when I cut my own hair in between, because I'm always so frustrated that there's no barber, so I cut my hair. My hair looks horrible when I cut it myself. But when I actually get a barber to cut my hair, I feel like, okay, now I can go out in the world. Even though I just spent the previous 3 months cutting my own hair with scissors and buzzers at night when no one's around like an animal. It's like, I'll just put my hat back on. Usually what I do is I just cut whatever sticks out of the hat. Like, I'll put my hat on and I'll just trim, like, use the hat as, like, don't tell anybody that.
I can see Jimmy. Okay, I won't tell anybody. Yeah, I was going to say, I can see Jimmy sitting in his kitchen with, like, a colander over top of his head just going, like...
I use the hat. When I see like a little tuft of hair sticking up on a curl, I'm like, oh God, I look like I'm homeless. So I go and I cut my hair with the buzzer, whatever sticks out of the hat. But when I get my hair cut, I feel completely refreshed and I can take on the world. Now it's time to clean the workshop. I get my hair cut, I go clean the workshop, and forget it. I'm unstoppable.
Nice. Yeah. What about you, David? When you cut your hair, how does that make you feel?
I'm a head shaver in the shower, and it is a nice feeling because the shaving cream has a nice menthol-y cool feel on my head. It's a satisfying thing.
Interesting.
What have I been working on? It's this will be quick. We've been on a little mini vacation, so the project that I was working on last week is actually coming out this week. It's coming out the day of this podcast, and that's the Overcomplicated Coasters. We went to Chicago for a few days, met up with some friends, went to go see a band called LCD Sound System, which is one of my all-time favorite bands of all time. And the weather was absolutely perfect, and we did Chicago things in Chicago. It was fun.
Cool. I like Chicago.
Chicago's cool. I spent a lot of time there with Taylor.
Yeah, we did a little architectural boat tour through the rivers, and it was absolutely amazing to hear about the history of Chicago through buildings. It was kind of inspiring.
That's cool. I remember we were in Chicago for, the three of us were there for one of those events or something, and we were walking from one place to another place. I don't remember the details. But whoever was walking us between these two places started telling us about the fire, like the big Chicago fire, and how, you know, Chicago was a city, and then that city was gone all of a sudden. And then they had to rebuild the entire city, and they did the entire thing out of stone and brick and stuff that wouldn't burn because of that. And I remember him saying something about wherever we were, he was pointing out that, you know, what this whole area used to be and what it used to look like and everything. And now it was just all these stone buildings. And I thought that was pretty fascinating that such a giant city with so many people that live there was able to spring back. You know, I mean, if most of a giant city burns, it feels like everybody would be like, well, I guess we should go somewhere else. But they stayed there and they
without
just redid it.
Much government aid, too. It was just like the city just helped itself to rebuild. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
I remember hearing one snippet that there was wooden sidewalks everywhere for some reason back then. And the wooden sidewalks were like a fuse that carried the fire from area to area.
Wow.
So like no wooden sidewalks. That kind of
thing. Huh.
It's the Windy City for a reason, and so little embers would go across the river and start a fire over there, too. Just the conditions were right for a city to burn down.
Crazy. That's wild. Well, I'm glad it's back, because pizza. Their pizza is my favorite.
What was that event?
Detroit pizza is the best.
I've never had Detroit pizza. What is Detroit pizza? New York. So, man, whatever. New York pizza. Bleh. Here, look, I got some soggy cardboard. This really thin, soggy cardboard. Look at this New York pizza I got here.
That's kind of how I feel about
better
New York
than
pizza.
Your junk.
Yeah.
So what's Kentucky Detroit pizza? Kentucky. I don't think we have our own pizza.
So Detroit pizza is almost similar to Chicago. Chicago is a very deep dish. Detroit pizza still has a thick crust. Not nearly as thick and not nearly as much cheese, but the cheese goes all the way to the edge, and then it's usually baked in like a pan, almost like a Pizza Hut pan pizza. Oh. And the cheese gets all burnt and crusty on the edges, and you got a nice beefy crust. It's just good. It's just it's the best pizza in the world.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
we were in we went to Disney, you know, for spring break earlier this year. And so we're in Kissimmee, Florida, and we had left the park or left one of the places that we were visiting, and we had to go back to the hotel, and we hadn't had dinner. So I'm like, I'd really go for some pizza right now. I'm sure there's like no good pizza places down here. So I look at my phone, and there's a Giordano's, which is the place that the three of us went in Chicago. Deep dish pizza, like, I don't know. It's like a franchise. They're all over the place. But there was one, like, 10 minutes from where we were in Florida. I'm like, all right, kids, that's where we're going. It was awesome. And, oh, man, it was so great. It was like a random surprise. It's one of my favorite places to get pizza ever. But,
Oh, man. Anyway. I'm thinking about pizza now.
Yeah.
I think the three of us have been in Chicago three or four times now. We had a couple ORD camps. We did a Making It meetup about 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah. 23 years ago.
23 years ago.
Ord Camp is done, right? We never hear from Ord Camp anymore.
Yeah.
At least we don't.
I don't. Other people
you guys go
it.
Without me.
No. No. Yeah. Stuff changes. Yeah, we've been there for a few things. If we do a meetup again, I think that would be a good place to do it. Easy to fly into or drive to or whatever. But yeah. What have I been doing? Kind of nothing. Kind of the same stuff that we were talking about earlier. Like, you know, I cleaned a lot. Memorial Day, we were, you know, at a couple of parties, took the kids to different things, and we're still wrapping up our soccer season, so we're just traveling and doing have tournaments and games, and so we're just doing lots of that stuff. And so I kind of really haven't been doing much of anything. I did finally start printing some stuff in my new kind of print room last couple of days, and that's been really cool. I mean, you know, they're printers running in a different room. It's not like magical or anything, but it is kind of neat just to have them all set up in a clean space, an organized space, and just go in and kind of walk down the line and start a bunch of prints and, you know, kind of glance at everything at one time to see what's moving and what's done and what needs to be restarted and all that stuff. So pretty cool. I'm glad to have that space. I'm looking forward to using it more. It's in the back of the shop. So the shop is in the basement, but the basement opens to one side of the house. You know, like, so the back half of it is in the ground and one side of it's not in the ground. Anyway, so this room is in the back part that's in the ground. So it's surrounded by two concrete walls, which have dirt on the other sides of them, and then there's bedrooms above it. So it's kind of the safest place in the house for tornado stuff. Well, this weekend we had a lot of really, really bad weather came through here. And so at about midnight on whatever night that was, tornado sirens go off. And so usually we come down into my office, which is in the basement, but not really a great spot for, you know. And so this time we went, okay, everybody, to the room. And so everybody went down back through the shop and into this room, and we hung out in there. And it's funny because it is like such a clean, it hasn't been used enough to be full of stuff. So there's very few things in the room. So we were able to go in the room with the two dogs and the three cats. And
okay, everybody, grab your STL files and let's go
print some stuff. But it was kind of cool to have a nice little place to go and, you know, feel safer than usual. And
do you have Wi-Fi issues? What, having a room within a room in a basement?
No, it was totally fine. Yep. And our internet didn't go out, our power didn't go out. I mean, we were totally fine down there. So, but anyway, I've been just in the shop kind of cleaning up that type of stuff. You know, using the printers and then cleaning up the outside of the shop to kind of just get it usable again. I'm trying to, my office, if anybody's watching the video, you see that this mess back here behind me is just still here. I haven't cleaned up in sequence enough to be able to start to clean this office. You're talking about the stress of having a messy space. This has become that for me. And I'm working towards being able to remove things from here to organize it, but I'm just not there yet. So every time I come in here, there's a little bit of a, I would really like to tackle this, but I can't quite do it yet. And, you know, so that's what I've been up to. It's in summertime for the kids. School's out. It's been out for about a week, and it's amazing how much that just messes up. It doesn't mess up my schedule, but I let my schedule become a lot more lax because I know they're here, and because, you know, I mean, they're here. I want to be around them. I want to do things with them. And if I don't have to get up because they're going to school, I'm more likely to sleep in a little bit, which pushes the whole day back a little bit. So I've been less productive over this last week because, you know, everybody's home and quiet, and so I'm sleeping a little bit more and stuff like that. But I'm going to fight the urge to get on like a summer schedule to where I'm not, you know, not getting as much stuff done as possible. So I'm going to try. And I'm anxious to get out and work on the car. Weather's really nice. I haven't made it out to work on the Ghia, but I think that's this week. I'm going to try to at least get a day, like a solid day out there. Just make some progress. I've been watching more of, we talked about Annie's VW, that channel, that Instagram channel where she's redoing the bug. man, she is like cooking now. She was doing body work and stuff for so long, and now it's just she's got paint on and she is just moving, and the whole car is moving ahead so fast. And it's really kind of motivating to see that, to know that once you get past this, you know, one set of big work, then stuff starts to kind of fall into place. Now, I'll have different big work than she had on her car, but I mean, I've got body work, and then I've got engine work, and then I've got chassis work, and those are all big. But eventually, once those big things are done, the details will start coming together, and it'll probably feel like it's moving a lot faster. So it's motivating to see. But
I saw a beautiful Ghia the other night. I thought of you. It was pouring rain. Oh, yeah? Otherwise, I would have taken a picture. Yeah, it was really beautiful. White walls. It was really nice. It was gold with a white top and white walls. Parked outside. Oh, wow. Some guy who has a beautiful collection of cars. He had a red DeLorean right next to it, which is very rare that you see a painted DeLorean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know who committed to doing that, but it was painted red right next to the Ghia, and he had a few other cool cars.
Wow. We actually passed by there again. Same picture. A Ghia here in town, a convertible green one. I have seen them in town before, but not on a regular basis. There's two like Herbie bugs in town. And they, you know, they're painted, and they're super nice. I've seen them at car shows here where they park and you get to walk around them and stuff. But there's two of them, and they are identical to each other. So they're not like different versions of, you know, like approximations. They are both exactly right. But I may have already told you this, but at one of the car shows where everybody drives their cars downtown and they park in the street facing each other, you know, at an angle. So there's just tons of cars, and people walk around for the whole weekend and look at cars. And so there's this, one of these Herbies was parked up against the sidewalk. It's back up against the sidewalk. And there was an older guy that I assume it was his car. And he was sitting in a lawn chair on the sidewalk about 10 feet from the car. And when kids would walk by, he had a remote somewhere and I couldn't find it, but he had a remote in his pocket or something. And he had all these jokes built into the car. So the trunk lid, you know, where the engine compartment lid would like pop open and water would squirt out. And then he had something where like the windows did something. I don't remember exactly. I even think the driver's side door would pop open. It wouldn't close itself. But there were a few things like that. And as these kids would drive by, he would like pop the back open and squirt them with water. And then they'd be looking around trying to figure out where it came from and all this stuff. It was pretty awesome. But
that's wild. That's such an old movie. It's funny how that movie's got to be 60 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Herbie the Love Bug. It was when Disney was making movies back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so we had the topic that was folding time back on itself.
Mm-hmm.
So your point in saying that was to always try to, this is a question, was your point to always have something being productive, even if you are not the one doing it? Is that what you meant by that?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's like if you're going to set up a glue up, get the glue up set up, clamp it, and then say, now this has to be carved or shaped or sanded by the end of the night. Well, right now, I have to go do something else so that I can feel like I'm not just sitting here staring at the glue, waiting for the glue to dry. So then I'll go do something else or I'll start another project. It's those moments where I have to fold back time onto itself is when I begin the beginning. A lot of times is when I begin the beginning of another video. I sit to myself, I'm like, okay. Usually when it comes to making YouTube videos, if I shoot the first scene or at least the first clip of that sequence, then I'm like, okay, I'm on the path. So I could shoot the first clip of a sequence and then start up again 3 days later, but still feel like I've gotten a lot done because I shot the very first part. And that first part will begin to get the gears rolling and thought process to really help the video. Because I'm always editing in my mind. And I literally build the movie as I work. So getting the first clip done begins to beget the next clip and so on and so on. But waiting for paint to dry, waiting for glue to dry, waiting for resin to cure. These are all really important times. Or another really important thing, I even set up before we get started. I set up a long laser cut, and that forces me to be at the laser machine. I'm very tempted to just leave and let it laser etch for 5 hours, but then I'm afraid it might start a fire, so I have to at least babysit the shop.
Yeah.
And just think, in that offhanded chance, it's the only time a fire will start is if you decide to leave it alone. And I don't spend a lot of time at the Main Street shop anymore. It's become more of a storage place, but I do have the big laser there because it's just too big. So I'll go there to laser cut a leather, when I'm cutting a couple of leather bags. So I'm going to, a leather bag takes 20 minutes to cut. So I set up the cut and then I go, okay, I'll organize the desk or I'll set up the cut and I'll go and I'll be like, you know what? I haven't played with this tool in a long while. Let me try and come up with an idea to use this tool or organize a cabinet. And so, yeah, that's what I call folding time back on itself, is always having to do two things at once. And very rarely do I set up something, or I'll set up something and be like, now's an opportunity to go do those errands. Mm-hmm. I'll go to, because I have to drive 20 miles to the bank up here to get cash. It's a pain in the butt. So I'll always figure out something to set up before I leave. So when I come back from the bank, I can sand, paint, do something, the next step of something. So that's how I fold time back on itself. And I'm constantly juggling. Like, somebody will call me, like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing, there's a laser cut going, or a CNC's running, or, and I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. It's, otherwise, I just feel like I'm getting nothing done.
So, yeah, I mean, I think there is something to be said for not doing that sometimes.
There are times when it's like, I'll set the CNC machine, I'll be like, okay, let me go sit in my car and make phone calls and just keep an eye on the machine from the car.
Yeah.
Because I have the big garage door, I could just kind of keep an eye on the laser cutter. If I see extra smoke coming into out of the shop, I'm like, oh, I got to get off the phone real quick. But it is a good time. The idea of me being on a long phone call or a Zoom and not setting up something to happen in the background drives me crazy. The whole time I'm on a Zoom and I know I could have hit start on a laser cut or something, that makes me antsy. I never do it here, by the way, because this is the first thing we do in the morning.
Yeah.
But I am, while we talk, you guys see me, I never stop moving. I'm always fiddling around. Like last week, the whole time we talked, I designed that bag and with the pen and ink, just sketching. And then last night, I did the final file.
Is there something that you, okay, outside of like building stuff, is there something that you do that feels productive, not productive? How do I ask this? Is there something that you can do that helps you unwind or gives you some sort of a fulfillment that is not, that you don't have to like overlap with making something?
No.
That's a good question. Really? No, there's nothing like that.
No, I suppose, you know, going for a long drive. I do like to drive up here. I go for long drives. It's nice when I have a destination. For instance, I had to go pick up that print press. I got the antique print press two weeks ago. I had to drive to Utica, which is a 90-mile drive from here. And I really do enjoy going for a long drive. There's nothing I could do except drive when I'm doing something like that. I didn't happen to have anything drying, glue or otherwise. Driving is
nice. But
you
were going to get a tool.
I was going to get a tool, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I'm always trying to... It's so second nature now. I'm always trying to do something while something else is happening. Always. Almost always. Like, I'm sitting here watching you guys, and the whole time I'm fiddling around with camera chips because I just found a camera chip under my stack of bills, and I'm like, what is this camera chip for? So I'm popping it in and out of cameras to see if it's something that I've been missing, but I haven't been missing anything. So there's always something going on. I can't sit still.
Yeah.
My dad used to yell at me all the time. He's like, will you stop moving around? I was like, I can't. When I was a little kid, that is. Not as an adult. Yeah. Yeah, I can't help myself. When I do just completely shut down, I said it last week, it's fun to just sit with the cats and play with the cats, but that's like a 10-minute block.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then I'll make sure that, I mean, I'm not, I can literally detach from the phone for like 15, 20 minutes if I'm like out dealing with the chickens. I leave the phone up at the house so I'm not distracted by it. And, you know, if I got to take care of the birds, that's like, and then collect the eggs. These are like moments of time. Stuff's happening, but it's really more like not for any important reason other than to have some breakfast eggs, take care of the birds. You know, there are these little rituals that I do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, even 10, 15 minutes here and there, play with animals or, you know, just do some other thing. It's kind of like a power nap.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you don't necessarily have to lay down and sleep for the afternoon to feel like refreshed in some way. But David, is this, do you do this as well? I mean, I know you talked about doing the finish thing, but.
Yeah, I have a hard time sitting still. I can't start another project while one project is going. I've, something about that just doesn't sit well with me. I have to finish one before starting another one. It's like a...
Oh, I have like seven things going at once.
Yeah, my... usually. I think my brain is too simple to do that. I'm like, I'm married to this. I need to finish this marriage before moving on to the next one. But I will find myself constantly like organizing or cleaning or finding some sort of media to consume. It's I can't sit still, even like on Saturday mornings. Like we get up, we make our coffee, and we're hanging out. We have what we call family time, and I'm starting to get anxious. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna go get up and load the dishwasher or something. I gotta be doing something. I have a hard time just sitting there unless there is like a movie playing and we're purposely watching a movie. So I'm constantly doing something. Like, I can't even, like, Jimmy is, like, I can't even record this podcast without, like, oh, email came in. Is this, like, I'm waiting for the next email that's going to change my life, you know?
Of course.
Yeah. I've got videos coming out, YouTube videos, like, ooh, this is going to be a great video to watch today. I'm going to, you know, after the podcast is done, this is what I'm
getting notifications.
Watching online. Yeah, it's like, it's hard to do just one thing. But I can't do two major things.
There are moments throughout the day where I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's dry. I don't need to go do this errand. I don't need to. I actually have like the next hour or so to do nothing. Let me start another project, and I'll go. I'll open my phone and look at the notes app and see what's on that list. That it's a quick start, something where I could just get my first scene shot, or if it's a project for a private person, what can I do? Can I go spend an hour at the computer and develop file? I'm always developing some Illustrator file for a CNC or a laser cut. I will look for a block of time throughout the day. If I happen to find one, I'll be like, okay, I got an hour. Let me go start a new video. Let me go start a new project.
And I'm curious.
If I literally, it's just like putting a pin in it.
You mentioned your notes. So I'm sure we all have notes of like future projects or ideas or things that are just sitting there for future development. And when it comes time to start a new project, sometimes I'm afraid to look at that list, and I can't pinpoint why I'm afraid to look at that list. And I think it's because I want to start something new. I want a complete fresh idea.
I've had that feeling, sure, a lot.
Hmm.
So I know the app is there. I know that it's just sitting right there, and I'm like, meh.
And I know there's good ideas in there.
What's nice, though, is when you start a new idea you think is fresh, but then like a week later you look at your list and it's like the third thing on the list.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like I think of my list like that as stuff I haven't gotten to yet. And so I would almost rather go to that list and find something that was exciting to me at some point rather than try to replace that unfinished thing with a new idea.
Huh.
I don't know. I mean, it just, because usually if it makes it to that list, it's something that I thought was cool enough to, like, I want to do this, but I can't right now. So I'm going to write it down.
I think a lot of times those ideas on that list take more development, or is a huge time commitment, or huge projects. And sometimes I'm afraid to start a huge project, or there's going to be a lot of design, or there's going to be a lot of material gathering, or there just needs to be more development. And I think I'm looking for that fresh idea every once in a while, right?
Sometimes those fresh ideas also come in when you get either new material, you get a new stock, whether it's brass, leather, wood, plastic, or you get a new tool. And the new tool shows up, you're like, oh, I guess I'm going to 3D print today. I never expected the 3D print resin, you know. Yeah. That's something that pops into my mind a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Speaking of, I got some calipers. This is a left turn, sorry. But I was looking at something else entirely online, and I found this set of calipers that had a USB cable sticking out of them.
Mm-hmm.
and you could plug them into a computer, and they were really expensive, like several hundred dollars. And it would come out and plug into the computer, and it would take the measurement that was on here. There was a button, and so you would hit the button, and it would send that as a keyboard to your computer, the measurement number.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's awesome. How can I make that? And I immediately went into, that's several hundred dollars. There's got to be a way for me to access the information on a pair of calipers and steal it and then send it to the computer. And then I looked around just a little bit more, and I found these, and they're, this was 30-something dollars. They're used, but brand new, they were 60, I think. And these are Bluetooth calipers that do the exact same thing.
Bluetooth.
And so you can measure something. You got it, like, measured where you want, and then you click the text field on your computer, like the parameter in Fusion, and then you click this button, and it sends that number to Fusion and puts it in the field. That's, and I'm like, what?
That's
amazing. And so now I'm sitting here, okay, if I wanted to make a holder for this little thing, I just set up my parameter, what I think I'm going to need, and they go, click, click, and I get all the measurements and jump right in there, and then I've got, you know, everything I need to make the thing. And so even something like that, which is not even a direct, this is going to cause me to make a specific thing, just the fact that it gave me a motivation to look for what thing on my desk can I measure and, you know, kind of catalog or define in Fusion to then make something around, that started the path of, well, what can I make something around on my desk? And I'm like, oh, I have this camera and I have this microphone and this thing and that thing, you know, that these could all have accessories and could have, I don't, whatever. So yes, I just happened, as you mentioned that, and I happened to look over and see that these came in yesterday, and I haven't really messed with them yet, but it's a pretty cool thing. I didn't know that existed. But it does. So.
Yeah, I was working with Starrett, and they sent me a few things that do that exact same thing, but I never was able to figure out how to implement them. But you do a lot more of that computer-aided design.
Yeah, I mean, for parameters, I mean, it only seems useful if you have something right in front of you that you're trying to define in Fusion, if you're building something around it. Otherwise, I don't know why that would be interesting at all.
Just you talking about that for 2 seconds makes it sound more useful than I've ever been able to figure out before that. So that opens the door a little bit.
Yeah. In other news, unrelated, since we're already off the main topic that we were talking about, I got this. Look at this thing.
What is that?
This is a 3D scanner.
Wild.
Yeah, I've been wanting one for a while, and I have a project that I wanted to do with one, and so I've been looking at them. And this company that makes this one reached out and asked if they could send it, you know, to like show it off in a video. Not getting paid for it or anything, but I was looking for one anyway. And so it's a all-in-one, and it has a giant screen on the back of it, and so you can like move it around things and scan around stuff.
Is that one that could scan a car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like, you can do small stuff and big stuff, but anyway, it's a 3D scanner to where you can scan all sorts of different things, and that opens up, or like, not opens up, but gets me closer to doing a couple of projects that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I was like, I don't really know anything about scanners, I don't want to go, you know. Every time you look for one, it's just a matter of who's paying the most for like a sponsored ad to have on the top of the Google listing, so like, I don't know, you know. Now I actually got one to try out.
Nice.
And that's exciting, because that's a whole nother... That gets me closer to doing some things that the block was, how do I get an accurate scan of like an organic shape, or how do I, you know, how closely can I model something to what I'm seeing with my eyes rather than actually, you know, getting a real model of it. So,
are you guys aware of 3D DIY Dave? You guys know Dave?
3D? I don't know him, but I've seen him around.
Yeah, he's scanned hundreds of makers. With it seems like the machine he has looks very similar to that one. He got it from a sponsor, and he said he came up with a project to get one. He was interesting. He says, like, try to think of a cool project to offer to them, why they would send me one. and he's been scanning makers. So you can go, I'll try and find it. You can go to the library and download 3D models of me and maybe 300 other people. Every time there's an event, he'll scan that maker. He'll scan a group of makers. He's done it at WorkbenchCon and here at Maker Camp. And he's got a huge library of everybody we may know. You can go in there and pick your favorite maker and 3D print them and make them into a keychain or do something vulgar to them, whatever you want.
In private, of course.
So the files are there for the taking of all of us.
That's pretty
and,
wild.
And he used a machine that looks just like that.
Yeah, it could be the same one. Apparently it's a pretty good one, but I don't know. I haven't messed with it yet. Sorry to derail the conversation. I don't know how I even got to that. But I think, like, I totally get the idea of trying to have one thing going in the background while you're doing something else. It's efficiency. I like efficiency. In the last couple of years, I definitely have settled into trying to find, like, some contentment in the way things are. And it's a battle because, and this is just in life or being productive or whatever, there's a battle between being content with how things are and wanting things to be better or different, you know, or whatever. And you can't be so content that you're unwilling to do work and grow. But I was talking to one of my kids this week about how my daughter, like, she's very motivated and does a lot of different stuff. And I don't want to squish that in any way. I want her to be strong and motivated and productive and chase the things that she wants. Absolutely. But I also can see the potential in someone that motivated to not be able to find contentment in where they are at any given moment. And so I was talking to her about, you know, you need to make sure that you are willing to be content while at the same time want to learn new things. You want to do more things, want to serve more people, want to, you know, you have these other things that you want to do, but you can't want them so bad that you are unwilling to be content with how you are, because there's so much about your, and this is a conversation with her, but there's so much about your life that you cannot control. And if you're unwilling to be content in those situations, then you're going to be miserable, you know? And then you affect the things that you can affect, the things that you can control, the things that you can improve, but you still have to balance it with being able to be okay at any given time, I think. And so that's something I've wrestled with a lot in the last couple of years, is that feeling of I need to be doing something all the time to feel productive, because productivity leads to, you know, taking care of the family, or it leads to, you know, having enough, or safeguards, or, you know, making sure that your business is strong enough to survive hard times, or, you know, all those different things that somehow all of that is reliant on me making sure that I have two things going at any given time. And so we're all different. We have different motivations and different situations and everything. But I have found that it actually has been really good for me to fight that urge to be productive sometimes, not all the time, that's being lazy, but to fight it sometimes, to be able to find contentment with just being how things are in this moment, and then setting aside time that is specifically for forward motion, that is for getting things done, that is for being active and proactive. And so my weeks have gotten a lot more broken up, in that I set aside days that are these shooting days, and those days have to be productive. But then the other days are like, my mornings are a lot slower than they used to be. Kids go to school. I sit on the couch and I read for a little while, and then I go run, but I don't have to feel rushed about running as much, you know? And so that the kind of pace has changed some days. And then the other days I make up for that pace in kind of focused I'm trying to be productive because this is when I get to do that kind of thing. So that's where I've gotten with that stuff. And like I said, it is a battle. It is a thing I constantly am kind of wrestling with, but it's been good for me personally to be able to separate those times a little bit. So,
yeah. But, you know. Well, I definitely try and find windows throughout the week to not do anything. Like I said, I call those like moments to incubate. I might not be completely shut off, but I am definitely relaxing, not physically carrying or gluing or doing any action. Just and I said it last week. I said with the birds and the cats, and I do take time. You know, nowadays everybody pulls up to some place and just sits in the car for 20 minutes before they get out because they're on the computer. Yeah. Everybody does that. Some people do it for longer than others. Some people pull up and they like sit in the car for an hour. And you're like, what are you doing? Don't you have anything else to do? But that is there's a moment in our culture that never existed. You pull up to a place and you cannot wait to get onto your phone to see what you missed while you were driving. What news occurred? What person messaged you? What new exciting thing got posted?
I have always been. I would get to a place. Maybe it's a family event. Maybe it's a fun thing that we're going to do with friends. And I need a little bit of moment in the car because I know there's going to be a change of energy. Like, I don't know how else to put it, but the environment's going to change. I need a moment to just get ready for that transition.
It's like when you get to a Thanksgiving dinner, you're like, did I really want to come
here? Well, it's like, have you ever been gone to a place where maybe you're completely sober, but then you're at a place but the other people there have been drinking, and you've gone from calm, quiet to like that is a change of energy that is a little difficult for me to get used to, and so I need a mm-hmm. I need a moment of like, all right,
sure,
it's gonna be a little bit different. So even before phones, I used to sit in my car for a minute and just get ready.
Yeah, I mean, it's the commute thing. I think it's really, for people that work one place and live in a different place, that commute is that kind of transitional, my mind is changing from what I've been focusing on to something else. And that commute's like the commute is a necessary part of that
100%.
Spatial transition there.
Yeah.
And for those of us that work at home, especially if we have kids on the other side of a doorway, you don't have a commute. So you go from one mindset to open the door to a bunch of drunk people. That's what kids are. And you go to this other room of drunk people and you have to shift very quickly. And that's hard. I think a lot of people don't realize that part about working from home or, you know, working for yourself or whatever. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's tough. And I mean, you know, I think all three of us probably don't do super well with going into groups of lots of people anyway. And so even if we're prepared for it, it's not ideal. And when you're not prepared for it, like, that's pretty rough. But anyway, any other thoughts on keeping ourselves busy? Two things at once.
You mentioned something earlier about just being content, happy in the moment. I have a hard time with that. Like I ever since starting my own business, I find it very difficult to be satisfied. It always feels like I'm working towards something and those goalposts are always moving. And I don't, I have a hard time finding the reward. And I know this and I try to appreciate the moment, but it still like feels like, my shop is never done. My office is never the way exactly how I want it. Or I should be further along in my progress of learning this particular thing. Being satisfied is very difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, satisfaction is a good way to put it too. I like that. I think, you know, one of the things that I am still learning is that it's a practice to try to separate our contentment, our satisfaction from our productivity. And our culture really pushes people to feel like your value, your worth to other people, your worth, your input to the world is based on your productivity or on the things that you accomplish. And that is so wrong.
Right.
It is, I know how we got there. I understand that, but it's just not right. And kids are driven that way. They're driven to feel like they are, their value and worth comes out of their athletic ability or their academic ability.
View count. You know.
Do what?
View count.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's just, it's something that we, I think we have to practice, and it's a really good thing to remember that your worth, your value has nothing to do with how good you are at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how often you do stuff and what you've done for so-and-so. And if we can make sure that our, we understand our worth is separate from that, it releases a lot of that pressure from us to feel like we have to keep up. Like we have to be doing what everybody else is doing because otherwise we're not going to be as valuable as they are. And I, it's a hard thing to try to talk to your kids about too, because it's so abstract. And their life is like, yeah, I play this sport, or I hang out with my friends, or I play this instrument. And that's all exactly the same thing, but it's just not as, as concrete to talk about to them. You know, that they value themselves based on so many different things. But as adults, we have a little bit more perspective, and we can, I think it's a good thing to remember that there's a separation that should be there for our own well-being, but we forget about that a lot. So.
That's good. Good point.
That's why I listen to podcasts like Making It.
You guys got anything else on this?
I just had to draw down an idea I just had. Sorry.
Oh. Okay. Two things at once.
Two things at once. No, I think, you know, people call it, you see a lot of memes these days, which are really funny because they put into a little encapsulation something that you didn't realize you do or you did. And there was a thing recently, I remember because last night, I got out of my car to go to the shop to go do something. And then on my way into the shop, I saw something. I was like, oh, that needs attention. And I was like, no, you came here to do that. And then I'll come inside and I'm unlocking the door and I'm like, oh, this needs attention. I could, all I got to do is just pick this up and put it. No. It was somebody with, it was like the personification of ADHD, and it showed somebody. Mm-hmm. Going to like do the laundry, and then the thing was empty. And then they go to the closet, and the closet has a broken shelf. So he goes and gets a screw gun, and he gets a screw gun. Screw gun doesn't have a battery. Then he goes and gets the battery, and the plug is janky. So he goes and gets fixes the plug. It was one of these things, and that's my entire day. But as long as at the end of the day I have product, something to show for it, I'm happy.
There's a couple. I think they're called the ADHD couple, maybe. On Instagram, and the wife, I don't know how clinical it is, but she says she has ADHD, and they have these funny skits of where the husband's like, you know, he'll walk into the room and be like, why is that right there? And then she goes into that big long explanation like you just did about, well, I was starting to take the trash out and then I found this and I went, and that's why I have four piles of clothes here. And he's just like, what? You know, and so they do all these, they're kind of jokes, but they're also like pointing out,
highlighting a real thing.
Yeah. When you have a couple that deals with those things differently, how can one be aware of the other and considerate of the other and stuff like that? It's actually pretty cool. But
how many times throughout the day do you find something and you like, you find like something out of place and you pick it up and you go, oh, this really should have been over there. But for the last 5 months, it's been sitting here. But when you put it back where you think it's supposed to go, you feel like you've accomplished something. Or like I whenever I go to my other shop, because the people come and go from there that I don't even know, there's neighbors and stuff, I'll come there and I'll find like a rake and I'll be like, oh, thank God I found this rake. I wasn't even thinking about it. Wasn't even on my mind, but somebody moved it around and now it's like churned up in my view. And I'm like, I've been looking for this rake. I can check that off the list. I didn't know it was on.
Interesting.
These type of things.
Reminds me. I feel like I'm looking for excuses to be distracted. The other day, I had to look up a contact in my little digital iPhone contacts thing. And I was like, I don't know who Ryan so-and-so is. Delete. And then I went through, I'm like, you know what? Today's the day I'm going to clean up my contact list. And it does nothing.
Yeah.
But I started with A's. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to call that company again. Delete, delete, delete. Oh, I got two entries for this person. And I'm come on.
Yeah.
Why?
Can we write an app that basically that the iPhone will probably have it. It's going to have it on the next update. All the calls I haven't made in 5 years. All these are all people you haven't talked to in 5 years.
Yeah.
Delete. All the people I haven't talked to in 3 years. Yeah. Delete. Someone.
It doesn't cost anything to have them, and that's why that won't ever happen. There's no cost to having unused contacts. If there was a cost to it, then somebody would have a solution. I'm sure somebody has a solution for doing that, but, you know.
Well, years ago, my phone kept running out of space before I was rich, and I would buy, like, the cheapest iPhone, and my phone would always run out of space. Now I buy the most expensive iPhone every time because I want to be able to, like, set the phone up and let it run for 4 hours if I needed to.
Yeah.
I don't want any headroom. And one of the things I saw was that if you delete all your conversations after a year. So I talked about this before. Sometimes I every conversation I have, I think I turned it off, but for several years, every conversation I had would delete after a year. So several times a month, I would get a message with no history behind it from just a phone number that says, are you going to be there? Or, hey, man, what's going on? You know, because these are all conversations, because I never save anybody's number. I'm an idiot. So
he never has to clean out his contacts because he never has any contacts.
I never save numbers, and it's just numbers pop up, and I always have to go, who this new phone? And then it's like, you know, it's your, somebody I should know very well. But we haven't talked in a year, at least on a text message, and that's – so, yeah. So I think I turned off my delete after a year because, like I said, now I can afford a fancy phone with a lot of airspace. And
airspace.
So now about three times a month, somebody's like, hey, bro, what's up? And I'm like scrolling back to like 2022. I'm like, oh, John, hey, what's up, bro? How you been? Actually, I would be scrolling back to like the beginning of 2023 when I finally turned off the delete everything after a year app. So
there's this app called Contacts, and you can, when somebody sends you their number, you can put their name with the number. So anytime that their number pops up, it actually shows their name, and then you don't have to figure out
Annoying. Now it says, now Apple will be like, would you like to save this contact? This is all their information. You get hit, let's please. And then there's a picture of them and everything. But back in the day, if I typed in, Bob, I have you normally, but if I met you at a show and I typed your name in, and then it's like, go to save contact, and they're like, blurb, I typed it wrong. You'll always be blurb. I'll never go back in and edit it and correct it. So I have contacts in my phone that I've mistyped. No. I wonder what you are on my phone.
David is David Potato in my phone for a long time.
But now the contacts update. You know, I would be like, you know, John SVA. You know, that's like a student. It's actually a contact I have, John from SVA. But now if John sends me a message, it auto-updates to what he has in his phone. So it'll send it. So these little nicknames all going away slowly to the people that I actually hit save.
Yep.
So,
anyway,
so
well,
that's how you can save space. Just delete all your conversations from a year.
Man,
before.
We were at a school thing the other day. One of my kids was performing, and I was doing videos of their performance, and my phone filled up for the first time ever. While I was videoing, and I'm like, oh, no. My mom was sitting next to me, and she, like, handed me her phone real quick, and I started recording the video. But
Bob, like, I thought you were rich.
Sorry.
Apple didn't send you a new
you
phone.
You thought wrong.
iPhone 6.
Yeah. So I thought the phone was big enough, 16 too.
16 gigs.
apparently, it's not big enough when you record all of your kids doing all of your things all the time.
Yeah, it goes quick. I've learned how to use that little rainbow bar and always make sure there's some headspace in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I had to do while I was watching the other kids.
Delete
things.
Delete, 3 years worth of, some NPR show you don't listen to anymore.
The rainbow bar,
well,
by the way,
to our Patreon
is your storage and what's taking up storage. I just want to clear up.
Oh, yeah. That's a good clarification there.
It is June. We were talking about storage, not anything else.
Yeah.
Big thanks to our Patreon supporters for letting us talk about random stuff for a really long time.
Yeah,
all the
topic
time. We're very grateful for the support, and especially to the top supporters: Crabtree Creative, Michael Menegin, Warren Works, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Scott at Daddy Yourself DIY, Sean Beckner, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Low End Design, Chad's Custom Creations, Chad from Mancrafting, Works by Solo, Albers Woodworks, Corey Ward, and Nick Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
People like June Ritchie. Well, thankful for all of them. And they all get the after show. We've talked about a lot of stuff today, so I don't know what's going to be in the after show. But
we exhausted ourselves.
I'm sure we'll find
I'll give you some more iPhone hacks when we go into the after show.
Okay. Yes.
iPhone hacks with Jimmy DeResta. Right.
Oh, there's a new series for you. So if you want to get the after show, to find out what hacks Jimmy has for you, you can go to patreon.com/makingit. Sign up at any level. Everybody gets the after show. We are grateful for every single bit of support over there. It does mean a lot to us. So thank you for that. I don't have anything to recommend this week yet, so you guys go.
And I'll recommend. I talked about 3D DIY Dave. We got to find him and ask him. Maybe he could. I'll send a message to you guys later when I find it, so you can put it in the notes. But I'll ask Dave for the library of 3D scanned makers. So if anybody out there wants to download any of the 3D scanned makers. And he still needs you two guys. You two guys are key in this community. You guys have to get scanned somehow. Well, Bob, you can scan yourself and put yourself in the library now that you have the scanner.
I would not feel narcissistic at all about doing
No, come on. It's a group. Everybody's doing it. Come on. Everyone's doing it. If everybody jumped off the bridge, would you do it? You'd have to do it if everyone's doing it.
No, I would not do it. That's the thing. Anyway. No.
We got to put Bob in the library.
Bob, of course you're going to scan your head right away so you can make future helmets and masks and stuff. That's true. So might as well just scan the whole Bob.
Yeah, that's true.
plus 3D DIY Dave is very, very funny. He's a very intelligent comedian. I really enjoy watching his stuff. So check him out. I know I've talked about him before, but just re-up in the context of 3D scans.
Cool. What you got, David?
This week was super easy. It's Make With Miles. His new video is called Raw Lumber Plus Hard Work Equals Epic Sculpture. And it's his video making skills are getting pretty amazing. So as soon as I started watching it, I'm like, yeah, this is my pick for the week. There's no doubt. So Make With Miles.
Nice. Yeah, he's great. I haven't seen that one yet. But, oh, I see it now. Oh, that's cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Mine is a channel that I've not watched very much of yet, but remember I was talking about the car, the 240Z?
Yeah.
Or 280Z, I remember which one I talked about. Well, this is kind of weird, but I had subscribed to a channel and at some point in the past called My Mechanics. My Mechanics? Is that what it's called? My Mechanics. And I was looking through my subscription feed and this 240Z was like in the thumbnail.
Yeah, he's restoring it from scratch, from like every little piece.
And I was like, wait, I was already subscribed to this, and it somehow I don't know. The car, I saw the car and it got interesting to me in my brain one place, but I was already subscribed to a channel that was restoring one. So maybe I saw it and I don't know. Anyway, very in-depth, detailed videos of this car, every little piece. And it's cool to watch. So, yeah, go check out My Mechanics. You guys got anything else?
I'm texting Dave while we talk.
Okay. I guess that's a no. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye. That's it. You can end it now. Thank you.
You gotta say the thing.
I love you.